I want to speak to Stephen Farry from Alliance. Stephen Farry, good morning. Let me see, you'll be on this line. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning.
With regards to the objecting, sort of mixed messages here, isn't there? You're objecting with one hand but making things work with the other.
Well, we do need a budget for Northern Ireland, and of course we will respect the democratic decision of the executive and deliver the budget that has been agreed, even though we do have some fundamental differences of opinion with our colleagues on the executive over the particular direction of travel. Now, the detail of the budget is likely to be unveiled in the Assembly by the Finance Minister on Monday, so we can't really go into the detail of what has been agreed or not. But I think that the test for us is really, are we beginning to address the fundamental difficulties within our financial system, the fact that we have unsustainable public finances, the very reason that we made a pitch to the UK government during the Stormont House process asking for assistance, and in return we have to make our own public finances more sustainable, because we know that we're getting less and less money every year from the UK government as they pay down their deficit. We have a smaller block grant, so we have to make the money we have stretch that further. And I think our frustration with the executive's approach is that they're not being radical enough in terms of how they're changing the way we do things.
Yes, but your leader's saying that, putting it simply, the budget agreed between the DUP and Sinn Féin doesn't make sense. So how can you go forward with a budget that doesn't make sense if you have any clout? But then I suppose the reality is the only people who have real clout are the DUP and Sinn Féin.
Yeah, I mean, we're all ministers, but some ministers are more equal than others, in the sense that the DUP and Sinn Féin have the ability to shape both the agenda of the executive and indeed the outcomes of the executive. We're there, I mean, playing our role, managing our own departments as responsibly as we can in the circumstances, and making a real difference in terms of policy innovation, and we'll continue to do that. And we'll also continue to make the case for doing things differently in terms of the budget. I mean, this is a one-year budget covering the next financial year. Whatever we see the shape of the new government in London after the election, there'll then be a four-year budget process, and we have to ensure that we are planning ahead for what is going to be an even more difficult situation. On top of that, we have the potential for a lower level of corporation tax. So that's a wonderful opportunity to transform our economy, but we also have to finance that. And unless we're prepared to be radical in terms of how we're approaching our own local spending decisions, we're not going to be able to use that to the full potential.
Well, the education minister, Sinn Féin education minister, he believes that it's good for education. He also believes it's good for higher education, and that's relevant to you, isn't it?
Well, yes. I mean, the budget may contain some improvements in relation to my own departmental budget, and the same for justice. But the comments that we're making aren't premised solely on the basis of what has happened for our own individual departments. We're looking to the system as a whole and the budget as a whole. And even if you look at the situation in the departments, while there may well be some degree of improvement, we're still facing an unprecedented set of cuts, all happening in the context of 1 year. And that creates huge pressures and huge challenges. And from my own perspective, I mean, it's not just a case of how we can try to stand still in terms of what we're doing in skills. We have to be investing more in skills, but we know that skills is the key way we're going to transform our economy. And particularly with corporation tax looming, we really have to be intensifying what we're doing around skills. So I have an ongoing frustration in that regard.
So are you going to be out on the streets with the unions? We were speaking to the unions yesterday, that big ad they had in the paper, the Stormont House deal is no deal, and they're saying there isn't £2 billion of new money, and the Tories are making the Northern Ireland executive take the payday loan, and at least 20,000 jobs may disappear. The long list of bullet points, as you would have been aware yesterday from the adverts that they bought in the paper. The way you're talking about the budget, it sounds like as if you're going to be rallying on the streets with the trade unions, even though they were critical of all politicians yesterday.
Well, I think that, to be fair, I think there's some areas in which we would agree with the unions in terms of the impact in terms of some public services, but there'd also be some fundamental differences in the approach that we're taking around the budget. I mean, we are not in denial around the scale of the crisis facing Northern Ireland. I mean, if anything, our frustration with the budget that was struck was more that it was not radical enough. We have to take tough decisions, and we see those tough decisions being ducked as opposed to complaining that we're taking any tough decisions. So we're coming from the angle that we have to be showing more leadership, more responsibility, And that means that we have to be facilitating change in our society. And I do get a little bit frustrated at times whenever people are denying the reality of the challenges facing our public services. I mean, one thing, for example, we have to consider is how we can raise more revenue. I mean, there's no government in the world that would try to address financial pressures 100% through cuts. There has to be a balance between some degree of cuts and some degree of revenue raising. And apart from ourselves, there's no one really who's actually prepared to actually say that that's the stark reality of what others do elsewhere in the world. We seem to have this reluctance to take difficult decisions here.
So as far as the Alliance Party is concerned, who's the most out of touch with economic reality? The DUP, Sinn Féin or the trade unions?
Well, I mean, it's a different perspective depending upon who you're speaking about. I think for the point of view of the unions, there has to be an acceptance that our current situation of public finances is unsustainable. We can't keep things the way they are. Our frustration with our colleagues on the executive is that perhaps they're not going far enough, they're not being strategic enough in terms of the budget that they're taking, that they're making to address the challenges that are facing us.
Let me home in on one small amount of money, considering budgets, you're talking billions, but this £600,000 that Chuck Feeney has pointed towards the politicians in Northern Ireland, and part of it is going to be learning how to use your Twitter account better, how to write better speeches, how to speak better in public. Are they seriously going to accept that money and use it for those reasons?
Well, I think that to be fair, that this is money that's not coming out of the public purse. So we can see this as being an added bonus. And I think if that was coming out of the public purse, I think there would be quite legitimate concern about the sense of priorities that people have. But I think if you do invest in politicians, if we try to professionalise politics in Northern Ireland, then we will be getting better decision-making. And I know from my own experience as a minister that the approach you take to decision-making has a real impact in terms of how you're using resources as efficiently as possible. So investing in politicians makes sense. And if you bear in mind, we've actually come through the politics of the Troubles over the past 40 years, and our politicians have been elected and they framed their message around a particular set of issues. We are now in a context of government. We have to run Northern Ireland as best we can. So we need a different set of skills from our politicians. So I think it's reasonable that we're making those type of investments.
You'll understand there will be people thinking, and it's not the first money that Chuck Feeney has given. I think this will be £1 million altogether. They'll be wondering what you're really going to do with it and who's going to get it in the end. Probably some media trainers or people who give talks to women who want to get more women involved in politics, because that's another part of it, to draw more women towards politics. It seems from the outside to look like jolly money, money that the politicians are going to be able to filter through and benefit from by basically having a good time and becoming, in inverted commas, better politicians. There's a sort of training, you know, I wouldn't mind a few pounds to come my way to make me a better broadcaster, but I'm not going to get it.
Well, Frank, don't mind me saying, I mean, there's very little room for improvement. You're doing very well as things stand, so don't be too critical in that regard.
You're very fair, I think, Stephen. But you know what I mean. There will be people who would like to see money from America come into their industry, into their job, into their career, and it won't be coming as generously as it is for Mr. Feeney.
Yeah, and that's always the case. I mean, whenever money comes, it's at the expense of doing something else with those resources. And I'm sure people can point and question any particular aspect of how the money is spent and ask if that is value for money. And certainly no one is seeking to justify anything that comes across as being some sort of junket or jolly. How the money is spent really has to be for a very clear purpose and properly evaluated in terms of the outcomes that are received. And that will be the case with this money as well. But I think the fundamental point here is that we have to be looking to see how we can actually transform our politics. And if we have a different approach, a more professional political class, for example, then perhaps we will be quicker in terms of taking decisions. For example, we've delayed welfare reform for 2 years, and politicians have now discovered a different way of doing things. And if we had maybe invested more earlier in people's ability to analyse information coming to them, to understand the choices that politicians have to make, then perhaps decisions could have been taken quicker in that regard. That would have saved the public purse many millions of pounds. So in that context, something like this can very quickly be justified.
Okay, Stephen Farrey, thanks for your time this morning. Thank
you. You're welcome, Frank.
Stephen Farrey from the Alliance Party. Wesley has a point to make about the £600,000, I think. Wesley, good morning. Let me see, he'll be on line four. Wesley, good morning, Wesley.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm very well, sir.
I'd like to ask everybody this one, just to check your calendar. Have a look at the hill and make sure it's not the 1st of April, please. Two things spring to mind, and it comes from a film called Brewster's Millions, where somebody had to spend $30 million. So we wasted his $30 million by throwing it at crazy crackpot ideas like this. This is madness. Giving nations Egypt another $600,000. Is somebody barking mad out there?
But Wesley,
are we barking mad for taking it?
But Wesley,
we will be to judge whether this money is value for money when we go to the polling stations.
Yeah, but Wesley, this man has endless millions that he's prepared to give, and he has decided that £1 million altogether should be going towards our politicians. The latest draft seems to be £600,000, and it's going to make them better when it comes to developing their product in on social media, better speech writers, better speech makers, more women being drawn towards politics. But just to give it a flavour of what the £600,000 is for, if it makes the people that we're constantly critical of, those who stand up in the assembly and who read notes and who can hardly get their message across without being prompted by other members of their party, if it makes them better communicators, better broadcasters, better politicians, better representatives of us, is it not money very well spent?
No, Frank, it's not. I want somebody who's going to do the job for me, not stand up in Parliament or in Stormont and prat about a load of cake. I want somebody who's going to get down on the ground and do the job, get the street lights fixed, get nurses back in the hospital, get teachers in the schools. I don't want somebody who's able to stand up there and talk a load of rubbish.
Yeah, but if they follow through with the training they're going to be getting, they won't sound as if they're talking, as you say, rubbish or cake. It'll sound like as if they are speaking words of wisdom in an articulate and very well-structured way.
Yes, sound like. I'll give you another sentence from that same Brewster's Millions film. Vote for none of the above.
You are not happy, Wesley.
Oh, I'm definitely not. Like, I'm driving around roads here in South Down here with no grip on them, watching a gritter driving around in circles doing his one wee area, while other people are struggling to get out of their driveways. Now, you tell me that game straight because somebody hasn't got the street lights fixed or there's no grip on the roads. There's a man died yesterday out on the roads trying to do a day's work.
So you feel that the money could be better spent improving the roads? There's nothing we could do, of course, about the weather if a tree comes down. But you would like to see the money better spent. I'm not sure that £600,000 would indeed cure all the ills of the local roads and indeed the highways and byways and the streetlights and whatever. But Wesley, you're not happy with the money being directed in such a generous way from Mr. Feeney towards our politicians. That is clear. Wesley, thanks for the call. Thank you. Thank you. He is away. 90-333-105 is our number. 077-66-105-105. Would you like £600,000 to come towards you to improve you as a worker in your arena? Would you like a very generous American to say, yeah, I'm going to send it towards the business that's been carried out by whoever's about to give us a call? What could you do with it? £600,000. If they did say to you it had to be directed towards making you better at your job, that's what they have to spend it on. 90-333-105 is the number.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105. Here for you.